on the Koshcast. City failed to buy a centre-back better than Otamendi at half-time, allowing United to storm back and beat them at the Etihad. Somehow, a Merseyside derby featuring Dominic Solanke and a team managed by Sam Allardyce doesn't produce any goals. Spurs and Arsenal scrape past Mark Hughes past and present, and Chelsea continue to defy all logic by not using Ross Barkley to fire them into the Champions League spots. Speaking of Champions League, we'll review and preview the quarterfinals, check in on a chaotic weekend in Serie A if there's time, and look ahead to Toronto FC's second leg against Club America. Oh, and we've got a special guest. Find out who after the weird music. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at under_thekosh on Twitter. My name is Alex. Bernie is here.
Yep.
Manon is here.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us today, a very special guest, Connor Kelly of The Final Third, who are currently on hiatus. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you
it's
for
nice
joining us.
It's nice to be in Toronto. I'm with you guys after listening to you for a long time. It's a bit weird to be in your company.
That's how I feel about your voice too. I'm like, it's here, it's in the room, but it's also...
Do you want me to go and like the middle room and just like talk from there?
That would be normal. That would be fine. So you've moved to Toronto.
Yes.
Is that a permanent thing or is that just a like, we'll see how it goes?
I don't know, to be honest. At the moment, it's just for a year and it could be longer. It could be... Well, it won't be shorter, but...
until next winter. And then you'll decide.
Once winter hits. Yeah, I might just go off to somewhere with a better climate for the winter.
Florida.
I don't know, man. I moved here and I saw the amount of football that you could watch on TV here as opposed to...
And you still stayed.
Yeah. No, because it was more.
No.
Like, you can see more
in
football
2007.
On TV. Yes.
In 2007, you got the one United game a week.
I didn't have
at
Sky.
At 7:30 a.m.
I didn't have Sky.
Mate, we're living in Oman and we got... Everything on ART Sports.
Everything. Literally, you couldn't stop watching football. Yeah. And then you came here and you're like, anything? Nope, sorry.
See, what's really annoying in Ireland is that we get the same embargo as the UK, despite the fact that there's not like... We're across water. And they still don't put on... The only games... We get one extra game to the UK, which is like the 3 o'clock Saturday game. You get one choice.
Right.
But you don't get a choice of any other games. And they're not allowed... The other leagues from around Europe, like Bundesliga, Serie A, La Liga, if they have a game on at the same time as the 3 o'clock Premier League game, they don't show up.
You don't see it. Well, also, the 3 o'clock Premiership game now is always a shit game because the other games get moved so that they're on.
Well, yeah, because all the good teams are in Europe.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of the good teams, why don't we start? Well, I mean, where else would we start? Manchester Derby.
Thanks for calling.
I was going to say, one good team and one okay team.
Yeah, exactly.
I take that good team compliment.
Actually, they switched roles at halftime.
Exactly.
Right?
Let's talk about the first half, where the good team was Manchester City. They rested a few players after their kind of underwhelming performance against Liverpool. Yeah, losing 3-0 in the Champions League in midweek. They rested De Bruyne, Walker, Jesus and Aguero. All didn't start the game. And we thought, okay, let's see what this means for Jose Mourinho and United. And then... You know, the first half was incredible football.
Did United get the ball?
No,
I don't remember them having.
Lukaku had an actual stat, had one pass from kickoff, and that was it.
That's a true stat.
That's a true stat. He had one pass, and it was the kickoff.
Mate, he could have actually just sat on the bench and then showed up at halftime.
Hang on, did he complete the pass?
Yeah. I think it's either Roy Keane or Gary Neville, a United pundit at halftime, said, you know, someone asked him, what would you like to see from United in the second half? And he went, I just want someone in red to pass it to someone
Giggs.
In red.
It was Giggs.
It was Giggs, yeah. So, Bernie, how do you feel about this first half, just as a United fan?
So, for context... I was in class and didn't see the game until after.
Priorities.
And when I saw that there were zero shots at all, so forget on target, zero shots at all, I said, I'm not watching the first half. Right. I just watched the highlights when I got home. And that was worse.
Right.
It was disgusting.
City played some good stuff.
Sterling has learned to finish this season, but seemed to forget all about that in this game.
Honestly, this is to give you an indication of how finished I thought this game was. Like, I was literally considering... I was watching this in a bar with my Manchester City supporting mate from Manchester.
You found one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Surprisingly, yeah. He was the only City fan in the bar while I was in. And we were about to just turn to... Well, I turned to him. I was like, well, I wonder when Pep is going to start resting players for midweek, like taking off Sterling. And he's like, no, it's not done yet. And I was like, yeah, sure, man. Look how one-sided it is. United don't come back in games like this under Mourinho.
And yeah, Sterling had another three chances to score, yeah, at least, you know, two more goals from those and really put the game to rest. And
Gundogan hit the post.
And it just felt like, you know, City should have really ran away with this. And you're right, rested players for midweek. Tall hill to climb or whatever against Liverpool in midweek, but it was all setting up, and you know, the players had their kids there in full City kits and they were ready to celebrate, yeah, all that good stuff, and Kompany was playing fantastic again. You know, props to Kompany for coming back from all these injuries and still being City's best defender even when he's always out for like a year between games. Yeah,
it's like the Medley Kings,
but that's an indictment in itself.
Yeah,
if Kompany's the best defender, that's an indictment on your defense.
Yeah, well, you will get to how bad his partner in Otamendi was in the second half, but
Otamendi pisses me off because I wanted him to be good. He had a tough first season, and you could kind of make excuses for that. You know, Pellegrini and City were playing really open, and you're like, he can't be this bad. He was good at Valencia, blah, blah, blah. Same with Mustafi, and we will get to him. But he's not, is he? He's just shit.
Valencia just sell you fraud players, don't they?
Yes.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Except David Silva.
I wouldn't necessarily say shit. I just think he has a calamity. I think largely he does really well, and then he'll have a calamity that will be so bad.
It sticks out
like in your memory because it's just how horrendous it is.
Otamendi is the type of defender that if it's about like guts and glory and all that stuff, last ditch tackles, great. But ask him to make an intelligent decision on the pitch.
Mm.
It's like, he can't do it. And right. I'm not sure that's the type of person you really want to build your defense
I think he's done exceptionally well this season, considering that he's the complete antithesis of any Pep Guardiola defender I can think of. Bar maybe Puyol.
Puyol
was never reckless. Like, Puyol had decent decision-making skills.
Right. I think he's been helped out, obviously, by the fact that City have the ball for, like, 70% of most games. And so there's less to do. And you're right, he has done well for most of the season.
True.
But in the big moments, he does seem to...
I think the bigger sort of theme here is that, and it's happened to Guardiola teams in the Champions League, in major Champions League games, like with Bayern in particular, they have these like 15 minute periods where they just completely capitulate.
Yeah.
And it's like, they play well for the majority of the match, but then like concede like 3 goals in 10 minutes. Like Barcelona game in 2015 in the Champions League semi?
Yeah,
with Bayern, like it was 0-0, but 15 minutes left, they lost 3-0.
Right.
Real Madrid the next year.
Yeah, they concede four. It's just this happened in midweek against Liverpool.
Yeah,
they just seem to capitulate.
3-0 by what, like 20 minutes or 30 minutes or something.
I think
it
was something like that. And at Anfield in the Premier League, Liverpool scored 3 goals in 9 minutes. Mm. So they do seem to have this issue where if you keep going at them, they collapse and they can't figure it out.
Yeah,
and they keep just digging a hole for themselves. And I wonder. If it took a whole season people to figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, specifically back to this game, and then halftime came about, City were 2-0 up, cruising. Gundogan with a brilliant goal, by the way. We didn't touch on the goals, but Gundogan's swivel and...
channeled Dennis Bergkamp for a second.
it was brilliant. And he's a great player. Also came back from that horrendous injury he had where, you know, he was close to not playing again. But then at halftime, I think Mourinho pretty much, just brought out the video of Pep talking about Pogba and just riled him up somehow. Because Pogba came up. Okay, this is the Pogba first half, Pogba second half. First half, he was playing for himself. He was doing that thing where Pogba does, where he tries to get people to realize he's a good player by intentionally shielding people off the ball to show how strong he is and how good he is in possession. Where it's like, you could just pass to that guy, but no. I'm going to hold it for 5 more seconds just to remind you that I'm this strong center midfielder. And he did it in the first half a couple of times, but it doesn't really serve the team in any positive way.
On that whole shielding thing, I think that is a product of being told. So you shield the ball when you're asked to protect the ball, when you're asked to be a defender. And Paul Pogba does not have a defensive bone in his body. I don't want Paul Pogba defending anybody. Like, nothing. Nothing at all. When you ask him to do that, he starts to try these weird things that don't make any sense. So what you want Paul Pogba to do is start attacks and finish attacks.
I thought you were talking about his haircuts when you said that.
There. I can't defend that.
he gets defensive about that.
And then in the second half, he started playing for the team. And I think, Bernie, me and you were discussing this during the game about how I prefer Pogba at the end of plays than starting them. I know he has a lot of assists, etc., and he's good at that. But I think he's more useful when he's running into the box. This is the way we saw him score the goal, the way we saw. He kind of is more towards the end of the play than kind of trying to create from deep, which other people can do that, but not a lot of people can do that burst into the box, that box-to-box play. And I like it when he's in the action, kind of finishing off plays, and he's good at that.
I slightly disagree, only because Paul Pogba has never been a prolific goal scorer in his career. The thing about Paul Pogba is that if you let him, he makes things happen. Some people, I had a debate with some people when they were going off about Paul Pogba, and they said, oh, well, the Juventus spell kind of propped him up, and it was he had quality players around him that did most of the work. He had the most assists in that league, which shows that if you actually let Paul Pogba create things, he can create things. But don't ask him to do what he cannot do. And the best players in the world don't do things that they cannot do. That's just a fact. But people are getting on his case and saying, when you're that good, you should be able to do multiple things. That doesn't make sense. People have been saying Mesut Ozil cannot play on this side or play on this side, play on this side. When you're a player and you're a specialist in something, let them do that thing.
As long as you're not a specialist in failure.
Exactly.
That's fine.
Well, it would help if he had a coach who knew how to get the best out of him.
That would be nice.
Be nice. You know, he played his best football with Juventus on the left side of a midfield tree at United. It's as if Mourinho, I think because Mourinho, the public dispute between the two of them, Mourinho seems to be doing his best to try and humiliate Pogba as best as he can, like by starting like McTominay. He was literally just like a stats padding vehicle.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah.
You know, can say that he played. He brought through a young player. Like, yeah. But like, who in their right mind would pick Scott McTominay and Marouin Fellaini over?
Oh, that is a future,
Champions League.
That's a future wish from midfield. If I've ever heard.
It's, oh yeah, he is. He's a, yeah. That's precisely what I was thinking.
Yeah,
alongside his idol Darren Fletcher. Scott is
yeah, exactly.
But I just yeah.
Sorry, on the case of Paul Pogba and this whole debate, the thing that I find really interesting was, so Sky Sports were supposed to do a celebration for Man City. That's what they were going to do. But when that didn't happen, they had to fill time. So they dragged Paul Pogba to do an interview with Thierry Henry. That's literally what happened. They grabbed him and said, do this interview with Henry to fill this time.
And Henry will do anything. Yeah.
Henry is one of the best pundits of all time, man.
Yeah, except he's fucking annoying in the way he asks his questions. He pretends to be all philosophical and he's like, let me just answer it.
It's like you're asking him the question and Henry will go,
because Henry is a star.
I get it. He wants to be the star.
But when he asked Pogba, I've never heard, like, he literally said to Pogba, they analyzed the goals, like they literally showed it to him the way he would do on Sky, and he said, why haven't you done this before? Hmm. And usually journalists just tiptoe around the thing, and Pogba looks a little bit surprised and he looks at me and says, I can't make this run when I'm in a two.
Yeah.
When I'm in a two, I'm told to control the game and pass. When it's three, I know there are people behind me and I can make the run. And it's, what have we been hearing all season?
And you can hear Mourinho's blood boil as he watches that interview.
What is you don't need to know what Mourinho says about this. You just have to read what Duncan Castle says.
Yeah.
Because Duncan Castle wrote a piece last week slamming Pogba for his hairstyles. All he cares about is his hairstyles and cars and jewellery. And it's like,
standard.
Like, that's really coming straight from you, isn't it?
Yeah. Getting the Raheem Sterling treatment.
That's the thing. I mean, then what's in common?
Oh, it's not even the Raheem Sterling treatment. It's just the what Jose Mourinho and his representatives want to be spewed in the media.
So Pogba scored that goal off a brilliant Herrera chest assist. That was really well done. Good finish. I thought Ederson, I'm not saying he should have saved it. I'm just saying he really went for one side. He dove to the right thinking, I'm assuming it's going to go there as opposed to just staying big and central.
To be honest, I'd be surprised if there was much thought involved, really.
Sure, it's more instinct.
You're
but
right about the staying big. What you're supposed to do in that situation is
not
stay
dive
big.
Sideways.
Don't go down like that.
So I thought he could have done better by staying there, putting his hands up and kind of making the angle smaller as opposed to pick a side. It's not a penalty, right? And then Pogba scored again from, Alexis Sanchez is having a party because one of those little clip chip things finally worked.
Yeah.
That's
like
it. He can retire
out
now.
Of the game, like.
Yeah. It was a brilliant run into the box again by Pogba. Really good header into the corner. It had to be perfect because Ederson, anything worse than that, and Ederson was going to get it.
But on that goal, what was, fantastic about that goal was the fact that United put 15 passes together before that happened. People just forget and they think, oh, Alexandre just dinked it in and Pogba made the run. There were 15 passes from left to right, mm-hmm. starting in defense, that got them there.
Were they all from left to right? Is that?
Well, it's like right to left, right. And right to left. Then they moved it forward, and that was City-esque.
It's almost as if it's a better approach than David De Gea just lumping the ball.
Yeah,
yes.
That's also 14 passes more than they achieved in the first half.
Yep.
So that was to make it 2-2, I think. Sorry, Alex.
I was really glad that Smalling scored because I worried for his mental health
after what Kompany did, that was traumatizing.
Twice in his career
he absolutely destroyed him, though. Like, Kompany just beasted over Smalling and it was bad. I mean, I don't know how Smalling went home.
It was like a ragdoll.
Yeah, it was weak.
I mean, to be fair, I don't know what you're supposed to do when someone like Kompany is, like, unless you're the same.
I don't know. Like, just, don't mark him. Get someone else to do it.
Take a chance and try and pull him down, I guess.
Yeah. I suppose.
Try to get away with it.
But then again, this is the third time that Chris Smalling has scored that goal against Man City.
Right. Literally, he loves a goal against
City.
It's either a red card or a goal.
Side foot from across, same yeah. goal three times.
Yeah, yeah. Usually offside, just like this one.
Barely.
I mean, barely is offside. So, I'm going to get to the rest
soon. But on the offside, we had this conversation a while back where the Premier League said... Remember there was that directive a few years ago about daylight and all that shit?
Yeah.
Like, and that was because, as a human being, you cannot call that offside. It's sure. too tight to call. Like, his shoulder
was
offside. I
agree.
You can't call it.
What other species is going to call it?
Well, maybe like
fire.
A cat that can...
As a human being.
Yeah.
Like, what I'm saying is, sure, you could say, like, his shoulder was
right.
offside.
Right.
But for me... That's no excuse for the stupidity of the defending
right.
of Otamendi. So I don't even bring that up because the defending was so terrible.
I agree because the offside rule says any part of their body you can play the ball with. And Smalling is never going to play with his shoulder. So technically he's not offside.
No, it's
I'm just saying. Yeah,
Remember Salah's goal against Liverpool?
Yeah.
People called in to call-in shows to say, well, that was offside. It was unfair. What do you mean? You tried to play offside from the halfway line. You're an idiot.
Fastest player in the world.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, so Smalling scored that goal to take United 3. I mean, Pogba's two goals were 2 minutes apart. And then Smalling got that one. De Gea made a really good save at the end. Pep brought on De Bruyne, Jesus, Aguero. He tried to really just get anything out of it. Even a draw, I don't think, was good enough to win the league.
No, it wasn't.
But he just tried to get anything out of it. And Aguero had a great header. De Gea, brilliant save again. I mean, I'd love to see how many points he's gotten or saved United this season. He's fantastic. I mean, that's not a slight at United. He's part of your team. He's allowed to do that. But he's...
I hate when people say that.
Why?
Because some people say, oh, the goalie's part of the team. Like... But the goalie should never have to make.
I'm just saying it's not like a negative saying he's done well for you. I know it means that you could do better, but like he is part of your team. Like,
yeah,
he's supposed
to perform.
Yeah, but
it props up the defensive stats because people will be like, oh, United have God knows how many clean sheets.
Right.
But the defense is actually shit. Like, the defending part of it is actually shit.
Sure.
Kind of the Ashley Young challenge?
I don't know how often... honestly... It's
yeah,
astonishing
say it.
That's not a penalty.
Say what you were going to say initially,
yeah.
Which is United.
It's a penalty, and arguably you could say it's a red card.
Oh, it is.
There's nothing to argue. It's
yeah.
a red card, 100%.
I was being generous there, but
yeah.
it's a red card.
I could not believe that Aguero got back up. I mean,
yeah.
that just looked so painful.
I think, like, a few inches lower... And Aguero's leg could have gone.
Oh.
Like, he was lucky it was a
the
bit
whole
higher.
Leg.
Yeah,
no,
just
yeah.
gone.
The reason Aguero's leg isn't snapped in half is actually because... And by the way, it's a penalty.
Here we go.
Because
here
Ashley
go.
Young
got
the ball.
There we go.
But what I'm saying is, if you look at the force of it, the ball, and then his leg rolls
oh,
over. If he goes
man.
Straight onto his leg, that's a
yep.
smash.
That one was a penalty for me. The one, the handball where Ashley Young was just spread eagle in the box was a handball for me. There
why?
Was, what,
like,
why?
No, actually, I'm curious about this one. Why?
What, he was on the floor.
But
he tried,
slipped. He didn't try and
he
hit
tried to
the
header
ball.
It, and then when
he stops it.
He stops
it.
No, I get it.
But what's the penalty rule? What's the handball rule?
Hand in an unnatural
that's
position.
That's not the rule.
That's
not the rule.
Oh, what is it?
The rule is deliberate handball.
No.
And he slipped.
No.
And he tried to head the
no,
ball
no.
and hit his hand.
I'm pretty sure it's hand in an
literally
yeah.
incorrect.
No,
the rule is
no.
not...
Go and look it up.
Also, how many deliberate handballs are there
yes.
a year?
There are
point
no deliberate
one.
Handballs.
No, I have an issue with the way handball is called.
Nope.
I've said it many times on this podcast, but Ashley Young slips.
A deliberate handball.
He doesn't put his hand out to stop the ball.
A deliberate handball is what Suarez did against Uruguay. Against whatever them. That rarely happened. It's never, it's or, it's not and. It's deliberate handball or hand in an unnatural position or it's not and.
But do we agree that he slipped?
No, we agree that his hand is in an unnatural position.
No, no, no. Do you think he just threw himself to the ground and he slipped?
I think he intentionally left his hand there, yes. I honestly think he did.
I don't care.
Wow. He was, yeah.
I don't buy that one.
I think it was a penalty.
Regardless, it's a penalty. Aguero's is a penalty. A Smalling is enough. Again, City maybe deserved to lose because they got complacent, etc., etc., and that's a whole different story. But at the end of the day, there are three goals given or not given to City.
On the penalty, and I talked to Alex about this before, the thing I find interesting is that that penalty was at what, 0-0?
Ashley Young was 0-0 early in the game.
Which makes it completely irrelevant.
I don't think so.
I'll tell you why I say that. Because people assume that so this penalty was at 0-0. If they get this penalty and score, it's 1-0. There's no guarantee that City score another three goals.
No.
So what I'm saying is, football is a sequence of events. City did score a first goal and did score a second goal.
Right.
So to suggest that this non-penalty call cost them the game is absolutely trash.
I don't think
the
Aguero one cost
them a draw.
No one said it's cost them the game. All I'm saying is there's three goals that City should have not conceded.
But you're trying to infer that it was unfair on Man City in the result, which is not true.
You don't think if Smalling's goal was not given and City were given two penalties, they wouldn't have won this game? Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying
is... No, answer the question.
No, I'm not saying that at all. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm literally telling you that if the Smalling one is not called, it's 2-2. And if the Aguero one is called at 2-2... Then that becomes... No, what was that? 3-2? Then it becomes 3-3.
Okay, Everton 0, Liverpool 0.
Here's a good question. Who deserves to win this game?
Nobody.
No.
It deserves to be a draw. No one deserves to win this game.
I think that this, again, was sort of like an indictment of Mourinho's approach in that it was only in the second half. If you judge the balance of play in the first half and how one-sided it was, United just looked completely clueless. And it was only in the second half when they actually went for it, which is against everything in Mourinho's fibre and his being. It worked out for United.
Had four shots to City 0 in the first 20 minutes of that second half. So you can't tell me City deserved to win a game when they didn't show up in the second half.
I think they deserve to win it if they have three goals incorrectly given.
That's
not
what deserves to win it is.
All right, it doesn't matter. It ended 3-2.
Aguero could have scored that if that penalty was... If Ashley Young didn't tackle... I'm just saying...
If Raheem Sterling misses chances, whose fault is that? So they deserve to what? Score five goals that he missed? They messed themselves up.
We'll move on. I just think United got lucky.
Yeah, fortunately, City only have a 13-point lead, so this is really important.
Which will come down to 10 when they lose to Spurs next week.
Nah.
Everton-Liverpool, this was dead rubber. Liverpool played nobody in the starting lineup.
They played Danny Ings and Dominic Solanke.
He's alive.
Between them, I don't think have scored a goal in, like, literally years.
Well, Danny Ings hasn't
scored any goals.
Right.
Liverpool, has he?
None?
No.
No.
Not one.
Under 23 is a lot, though.
And Ings hasn't started a game for Liverpool since 2015. So.
Ings has just been making money, doing nothing.
So who's this an indictment of?
Doesn't have to be.
Everton?
I think the keepers were man of the match, both of them, in this game.
I'm not going to lie, I was hungover and slept through this game.
Fair enough.
It was too early. It was like, 7:30?
That was a wise choice, both the night before and that one.
I knew it would be 0-0.
Yeah.
Like, I knew Liverpool would rest players, which would probably like weaken them in this context of this game. And then I knew Everton wouldn't attack at all. I knew Allardyce would literally just take his 0-0.
Yeah.
See his comments afterwards.
What did you say?
I'm hoping this is a parody, but I read a quote from Allardyce suggesting that if this was a Champions League game, I'd be going through on away goals.
What he said is, I hope people realize that if this was a two-way tie, my fixtures against Liverpool this season would see us through to the next round of the Champions League.
So when he finally gets that Real Madrid game,
he did not say that. Please tell me he did not say that.
So they've scored with one penalty, which is probably their only shot on target in the two games.
Yeah, which is also very suspect, the penalty.
So why don't we add up his aggregate score against Arsenal? Like, was it like 10-5? I mean, 10-3? Like, what? How is this something to be proud of?
This is how results work over your lifetime.
I'm pretty sure they were beaten 2-1 by Liverpool in the Cup as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. That was a different Cup. That wasn't the Champions League.
I mean, if anything tells you about Allardyce's approach to this game, Liverpool had Clavin playing at left back, and Walcott only ran at him in the last 10 minutes. Like, surely that would be your number one tactic. Just get it out to Walcott and let him run past this old Viking left back.
But also Theo has no ball control whatsoever, so it's
it
like
doesn't matter.
It's
clever. Just knock it past him and go. As rudimentary as that is,
I do feel I might be wrong, but I do feel that this whole Everton cycle with Allardyce is coming to a close.
Oh, he's gone.
I assume that the only reason Southampton didn't hire Marco Silva is the fact that Marco Silva's already agreed to take the Everton job.
I would think
Surely he's a better choice for Southampton than Mark fucking Hughes.
I think that is plain to say.
So does he get the sack then? Like Sam?
Oh yeah. He's completely, like, he came in, basically the only reason Allardyce was brought in was because there was a fear of relegation. But then he, in the two games before he took over, like, I think he was announced and they had two games. And they won both of those games.
And it was fine.
They weren't in relegation trouble anymore, so there was literally no point of
having this game. Sam, can we kind of cancel that agreement we had? I think we're good now.
And then they sacked Mark Watford, sacked Silva, and it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, guy's
gone.
Well, that was the best thing about it, was that Everton offered Watford 10 million for Marco Silva, and they were like, no.
And then they sacked him for free.
Stupid. Yeah. So no one was happy.
It reminds me, I don't know why, but it reminds me of the story about how West Brom rejected 38 million for Rondon in the summer. And now they're trying to offload him for like nothing.
They rejected what?
I'm pretty sure Watford did something with something similar. No, the other striker, I can't remember his name now, who was scoring lots of goals a couple of seasons ago.
Igalo.
They rejected like a £50 million offer from like a Chinese club.
Yeah.
And then they ended up selling them for like half that.
A year later.
They could have sold Deeney to Leicester again for like 25 or something.
So that's that for this game. Not really a lot happened, but again, like I said, the keepers had fantastic games. Karius is slowly starting to grow into it, and he might kind of have a shoo-in to be the starting keeper next season, and they might not have to buy someone if he continues playing well-ish. Maybe he can kind of just ease the transfer kind of burden on that
position.
It would save
them a lot of money.
Yeah.
It would. My only question for this is, James Milner has arguably...
Mm. Yeah.
I said arguably.
Yes.
I know the question.
Been the best English midfielder in the last month or two. Like, he's actually been very, very good, and...
I mean, Delph has been the best midfielder just playing at left back.
Should he be... Who are the other options? Like...
Maybe it was just... The number of English players that were doing well for, like, particularly Spurs, I was like, oh, maybe England could do really well in this World Cup. But then I looked at their midfield options before the last friendly game, and I was like, fucking hell. This is
so
really
bleak.
When you've Eric Dier and Jordan Henderson as starting midfielders.
And now Alex wants to add James Milner as the number 10.
I'd have Milner over both Dier and Henderson, though.
I'd agree, but I think England really needs to just move on. Because, what does bringing Milner give you in terms of...
Are you going to get to the
quarterfinals probably, and then what? Like, it doesn't enhance your chances of winning the thing. Why not keep going with this cycle of blooding in new players?
What are you hoping is going to happen to Jordan Henderson between now and the next World Cup? Like, it's not
going to... It's not going to get better, is my point. Right. He was there when they lost to Iceland, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Probably, it will not get better.
Stoke took the lead in this game.
Eriksen first.
Eriksen, great finish though into the bottom left where Dele Alli really held his pass and didn't give it to Kane. And Kane was really upset. He didn't even celebrate the goal. He was really sour this game. Came back from his like 1,000-month injury in 2 weeks and he's still upset. He does this every time he's injured.
He was not fit though. He couldn't run properly. There was something he was completely off.
He's mentally not fit. We'll talk about that. But he was kind of upset that Ali didn't give him the ball. He was like, oh, I guess that's a goal.
He's starting to develop the Cristiano Ronaldo.
I was gonna say,
he just doesn't like acknowledge any of his teammates.
Right.
So that might be a good reason he moves to Real Madrid. Like, it just you fit right in, bro.
I'd imagine that relationship would be quite frosty. Anyone coming in like trying to steal Ronaldo's thunder just sort of gets.
Yeah,
that's why Benzema works so well.
Yeah,
he doesn't give a shit. Like Benzema literally just doesn't.
That's
exactly
why I said a few weeks ago. Like it has to be Firmino. There's no one else. It has to be Firmino.
Yeah. That'd be a great shot.
That would actually be a great shot.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Spurs and then Stoke scored from
Diouf.
Yeah, Diouf.
Can I give you a Diouf stat,
please?
Yeah. He's got six this season. Which is double. Well, he's got over the past two seasons.
Combined?
So, no. Like, he got three, and now he's got six.
Right.
how do you remain in the team as a fucking striker? Like, what?
I'd be looking at that 5-on-1 that he butchered. Honestly.
Yeah. That was unbelievable.
I don't think I've ever seen. I've never seen a 5-on-1 situation.
It doesn't happen.
It's like playing like with your mates and. True. I don't know. Yeah.
Where was everybody?
Yeah, like,
I mean, look, back to the goal, Lloris did have another bad moment. He's had a lot of those in the last month or two. I don't know what's going on with him, but he's been very inconsistent.
Troubles on the home front, something?
Sure, maybe.
Really concerning for France.
The war. The World Cup.
Yeah, although they'll bottle it. They'll find a way to bottle it regardless.
But he also messed up in the friendly.
With Lloris.
He also messed up in the friendly recently for them. And then the Kane no goal. Eriksen whipped it in from a free kick. Kane swears on his daughter's life that he touched it. I mean, that is really taking it quite far. First of all, if it was an own goal, let's say touch the defender, I get it. You try and claim it for Tottenham and for yourself.
Right.
But you're trying to take it away from your own teammate. You're putting in a petition to the FA. All of this just to win an individual award. Like, it really... And then you take it as far as going... Like, how does an interview get to the point where he goes, I swear on my daughter's life, I touched the ball. Like, how does he even get there?
This is so modern social media and how toxic it is that you then had a load of Liverpool fans trying to claim that, you know, trying to coming out in defense of Salah and trying to make Harry Kane their little bogeyman. And then you had Spurs fans jumping in, we're like in retaliation. It's like, this is just
horrendous.
Everything I hate about football in 2019.
But that said, his daughter probably will be pissed off when she's old enough to realize what's just happened.
Because you know, anything that happens to her, she's in the hospital, she's like, it's because of you, Dad.
I looked at the replay a million times.
I hope that golden boot was worth it.
Fortunately, Aaron Ramsey didn't score this week.
Yeah, true. So Spurs got their 3 points there. I mean, they're going to finish top three?
Yeah, particularly if assuming Liverpool go through in the Champions League, I would assume Spurs will finish ahead of Liverpool in the league.
Well, the same points right now with the game in hand. They're 10 points clear of Chelsea. Chelsea done. They're in a good position.
Yeah. Sure. Another team that was done in the Premier League is Arsenal. That was like 4 weeks ago.
Hence the wins.
Hence the, oh my God, Arsene Wenger can actually put a run together and look at it. Maybe we should keep him for next season.
Well, I mean, if you need any sort of... any sort of hope is that Arsenal are probably going to win the Europa League and keep Wenger in a job again.
Yeah, because he's made a Champions League. It's the Mourinho effect. Come sixth, win the... you can't sack him when he's as good as Mourinho.
What was the Atletico Madrid first leg?
They beat Sporting 2-0.
Yeah.
Never mind.
there's also, to be fair, Lazio, who are very good.
Yeah. They're still in it?
Yeah. They're playing...
they won in their first leg as well. I can't remember who they put.
Red, whatever.
But you beat Lazio.
They're good too. Red, whatever. What's her name?
RB Leipzig.
Yeah,
RB Leipzig. They can't be called Red Bull because
The only thing I'll say about Lazio is that when Italian teams have come up against the teams that have looked really good in Serie A this season, when they've come up against, they've just been battered.
Like, I reckon Lazio will go very close. So I think they're the perfect sort of European side because they play really, really well. They're a proper counter-attacking side. So they're quite... I could see them playing against an Arsenal and being dominated for most of the game, but winning on the counter. I do think Atletico will win it, though, because I think they're the best team in it. And
they should.
Yeah,
they should.
Like, which is why they won't win it, because they should.
Yeah, true.
I mean, especially with this Arsenal defense, the game started off, the first 30 minutes was almost as bad as Stoke's game, as the Arsenal-Stoke game a week ago, which was absolutely horrendous. The first 30 minutes here, absolutely nothing happened. And then Mustafi, I think, just got bored and he decided to just not defend the cross and go, check, you should just kind of run up to the edge of your box and
that
grab
was
the ball.
Some of the it most amateurish defending I've ever seen.
And then he had the nerve to turn to check and go, what are you doing? And then I think once check is never mad. Check got really angry. Oh, yeah. And check is a calm human being. Yeah. And then you could see Mustafi at the end of the interaction go, you know what? You're probably right. And kind of give my bad.
Because really, where was Cech supposed to go?
There was nothing.
He's in Cech's eyeline. If you're watching it, he can see Mustafi. You can see Shane Long. Like, this is fine. Like, I don't even have to move here. And then he's just in the corner. He's like, the ball's past me.
Yeah, Shane Long, who hasn't scored in a gazillion games, by the way. The stat, I don't remember what it is, but it's horrendous.
He doesn't score.
He doesn't score.
That's what you guys are there for.
Exactly.
It's okay. He scored the best goal I've ever seen in the flesh for Ireland against Germany. And I was right in line with
him. Oh, that was a good goal.
It was a good goal.
Regardless of how shit he is, he'll always be in my heart for that moment.
I don't even think he's shit.
He's not shit. He's actually a very good player. He just can't score goals.
Yeah.
He does pretty much anything else you want out of a striker. He holds the ball up well. He's quick. He's got a decent first touch. He links play well.
Yeah,
he just can't score goals. It's unfortunate.
Like, if he was in the 90s Premier League, he'd be brilliant. Mm. Playing like off Kevin, a big, big guy. Yeah, like he'd fulfill a really specific role. But this is what confuses me about Southampton, is that on the bench, they had Gabbiadini, Redmond, Charlie Austin. Like, that's all your goals on the bench.
Yep.
They also had Buffa.
Hey!
No one wants to bite on
No. That. That was good. I was like, what? Oh.
Yeah.
And then Arsenal, and then obviously the third... You know, the third best striker in the league, as in the third, you know what I mean? Like the third striker, the best third striker in a pecking order in a Premier League team, which is Danny Welbeck.
Wait, is that true?
I mean, it's close.
I don't even want to put brain power into
third striker, though. Third striker. It's not bad.
I don't want to put...
I mean, he's horrendous, but he's a third choice.
Let's see, I'm trying to...
You've got Giroud, Morata, no one else.
They don't have a third.
You've got Aguero, Jesus, no one else. Iheanacho's gone. You've got Lukaku and no one else. You haven't a lot of third strikers.
Why are we putting thought into
this? I'm just saying.
This is Danny Welbeck.
Welbeck just about gets in over Llorente.
Yeah, that's it. He's probably there.
Okay, so he gets an
accolade. Oh, I'd have Llorente over Welbeck. Jeez, I think Welbeck.
This season, though, Llorente's been horrible.
Yeah, but like, I'd still rather have him than Welbeck. I just think Welbeck is useless.
Welbeck is useless.
Unless they're playing United, because he just seems that. Like,
yeah.
I do enjoy when he plays against United, because he actually celebrates his goals, because it's my biggest pet peeve in football is footballers who don't celebrate against their old team.
I agree.
My head.
Especially when they don't celebrate against Chelsea. Mate, they sold you.
Yeah.
After not playing you once and shipping you all around Europe, you celebrate that goal. Yes. You celebrate.
My favorite like non-celebration was actually an Irish player. Was Wes Hoolihan scored a goal for Norwich against Aston Villa. I didn't celebrate because Aston Villa wanted to sign him in the transfer window.
What? Yeah.
So what? I nearly moved there.
So I'll show some respect.
Oh, unbelievable. But I enjoyed this quote from Arsene Wenger, because this quote basically admits that Welbeck is shit, because he has to defend him like this. And he just said, "I think I've repeated that I really like Danny Welbeck."
Yeah, he
and
says that every week.
It's like, if you have to say that you really like your player, like, you clearly know he's rubbish.
Right, yeah. And so he scored two goals. He got an assist. I really enjoyed Aubameyang's goal. He's been quietly doing well in a slightly dysfunctional team, especially especially in the Premier League, where we don't play our full starters, and it's not really we don't care about him anymore. He can't play in the Europa League. He scored, I think, he's 6 and assisted in 5 Arsenal games, his first 5, and that is the best record of
any
Arsenal player
in
ever.
In his first 7 games, 6 goals, 1 assist. That is the most of anyone in the first 7 games.
Here's another stat. He scored 6 and assisted 1 in his first 5 games. It's also the best of any Arsenal. I just thought we'd repeat that because Bernie
what
I just said.
But he didn't have 5 assists.
one assist.
You just messed up the stat.
I did.
Aubameyang's quite good.
He's a good player.
Yeah. Welbeck's goal was very Welbeckish. His first touch came off the defender to come back to him, and then his shot got, which was going to go straight at the keeper, got deflected off the guy's heel. And
have a heart.
I can. Anyways, it will be played very well this game, which, you know.
Second half.
Don't get to say a lot. His second assist to Welbeck was fantastic. Like, he stopped a few times, dinked the guy,
This is after Welbeck's miss of the year.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that to you.
No, I totally forgot. But Wilshere kind of had it's a nice looping ball. I don't remember from who. I think Xhaka. And yeah, Xhaka does those kind of Messi to Alba balls where Xhaka, Wilshere, you know. And then Wilshere gave Welbeck an open goal. And Welbeck decided, you know what? No way. Like, I'm not going to make the headlines if I score this. I need to miss
this. Shane Long didn't have his spectacular miss in this game, so Welbeck had to make up for it, I think.
True. It's fine, though, because Welbeck said afterwards, it's not like I meant to miss it. Even Cristiano Ronaldo gets criticism.
Yes.
Like, you're not helping yourself.
Cristiano Ronaldo has more hat-tricks in his career than Welbeck has goals in the Premier League. That is a stat for you. Take it to your grave, because it's not changing.
That is someone you don't want to compare yourself to voluntarily.
But then he did come back, kept his head, scored the winning goal. Obviously, Charlie Austin came on. He scored every single time he's played against Arsenal.
Another confusing decision as to leaving him
he's
on the bench.
He scores every time he plays.
Yeah.
Play him.
Exactly. You're joking. Nope. Every single time he's played.
Charlie Austin kills Arsenal.
Never not score against Arsenal. Never.
And you put him on the bench?
Yeah, he's like the Drogba of Southampton.
It's actually bizarre.
My God.
I don't know. But Southampton have now won one game in 19.
It's absolutely abysmal. Like this is they have a squad. They are probably the seventh or eighth best squad in the league.
Yeah,
and it's just they've just floundered. I mean, like I think first of all they waited far too long to sack Pellegrino.
Yeah.
He was hopeless. Clearly, he had no kind of idea as to how his team should play. They were so cagey, so bland. And then they just waited way too long. And like Mark Hughes, like.
Yeah, it's so underwhelming. Yeah.
Like, he literally got sacked by Stoke because he was taking them down.
Yeah. So you hire a guy who's...
People really want to see Southampton go down just to say that, you know, Hughes relegated two teams, both Stoke and Southampton. That would be a record.
Mm-hmm. Bernie wants them to go down because he wants to asset strip them.
Well,
he does this every summer. Dortmund has won. Southampton now.
But I have some friends. So like, Chindy, he wrote on our group chat that, you know what, that Cedric Suarez guy... Not bad, and Bertrand, I wouldn't mind having that. Yes, I found a fellow fire sale.
I hate to break it to you, but like they're going to Liverpool, obviously.
Yeah.
True.
You know, like the B team gets promoted to...
True, how dare I touch Liverpool assets.
Oh, man. There was Jamie Brackpool on Twitter the other day. We were talking and he was proposing the idea of like an Amazon... for transfers. So it's like, we saw that you liked this, maybe so for like Liverpool and Southampton it'd be perfect.
Yeah. Maybe this?
Yeah, it's like a YouTube recommended.
Yeah, exactly.
I think but like obviously like my good friend from Final Third, Rob Palmer, is a big Southampton fan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
this season is driving him to the pits of despair. So for him alone I have this day up.
Our condolences.
Last but not least, in the kind of the bigger games, Chelsea drew to West Ham 1-1, and I thought Chelsea have 3 wins in 2018.
What?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. I'm giving you all the stats today.
Yeah.
They have like I think they're, if you look at the form table, they're like 8th or 9th.
Wow. Yeah, they're having a really bad 2018. They did take the lead in this game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
With a horrendous
scruffy
goal from Azpilicueta. Yeah. And then Chicharito comes on. There's a big, I don't know, Conteholic or whatever, some Chelsea account on Twitter that I follow. I like to follow a few, kind of. And Conteholic. And and they literally tweeted, as Chicharito was warming up, he tweeted, score a second goal because we're going to concede. 7 minutes later, I told you, and he's just like going off.
Really good.
It was a great finish.
Talking about Charlie Austin always scoring against Arsenal, Chicharito almost always scores against Chelsea.
Yeah. Right.
It's unbelievable.
Arnautovic. He's actually playing very well recently.
I have a real soft spot for him.
He's defending. He's also in their box at 1-1, in West Ham's box, clearing the ball away. Like, he's actually contributing.
On the subject of players celebrating against their former clubs, his performance against Stoke this year was one of my favourites.
He hated Mark Hughes.
It was incredible. He was getting like vitriolic abuse off, like, and Stoke fans are animals anyway. they boo Aaron Ramsey every year for having the temerity to have his leg broken.
Yeah. How dare he?
How dare he? Yeah. Faked the injury even though he missed like 9 months. But
he really committed to that.
Yeah,
he really committed.
He was
like, I have to see this through now.
That's method acting of highest proportion. But his performance in that game and the celebration, everything about it was amazing. So I was a real soft spot for Ronaldo.
Fair enough. I'm not gonna lie, I've turned around on him because when they bought him, I was like, that is a ridiculous amount of money.
We called it Mumu of the Week.
Yeah,
I think we actually
someone,
did.
Because it's like he showed up like one every four games or something. But now you can do it probably because of Mark Hughes.
He's he's a confidence slash like when he's up
emotional.
For it kind of emotional player. Like I feel loved, I feel like I'm important to the team, I'm playing well, great, I'm gonna do it. João Mário though is playing very well too since they bought him from
Inter. I can't believe they got him. He's far too good for that team.
He's a very good player.
I have trouble picturing a conversation between him and David Moyes. Like I don't know what he'd have to tell him.
I have to give Moyes credit though. Have to. Even though I hate to do it because I hate him. But like I have to give the man credit because
I would agree because I mean to have to preside over that like toxic situation at that club where the owners the owners are clowns.
They really are,
it's true.
Absolute morons. And the fans despise them. That's what I just on an aside, like imagine if Millwall get promoted to the Premier League. The security authorities are in gonna be
I mean, it was 3 weeks ago or whatever it was, that was a shambles when they
but
all
like,
turned at the
It's gonna be like a scene out of like Football Factory, when those movies were West Ham and Millwall Ultras.
Yeah.
Scrapping.
Like, I don't want Millwall fans to be rewarded for anything, but it would be fun to watch. Like, it really would.
Yeah.
Especially from the safety of across an ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Hart, this game, we have to mention, he actually had a world-class performance. I don't think it was anything short of that. I think this kind of sums up
Chelsea's, particularly Chelsea's 2018, that Joe Hart, who hasn't played well for a good, like, 3 years, has his best game in that period of time.
I don't know why he's back in the team. I thought, I always liked his replacement. I can't remember. Adrian. I always liked him. Last season, he was great. I'm not sure why they went and bought a keeper. It's one of those, it's like an Amazon thing. He's available now. Yeah. Get him. Okay, fine. Yeah, sure. But Joe Hart had a really, really good game. He was rallying the team too at the end there. Like, he was really into it. West Ham had a good performance overall. I'm not going to get onto Hazard again, but because that's my favorite topic. Ray Wilkins passed away, and they had, you know, the moment of silence and all that, and there was a big moo over the week, we'll just mention it because it's not really going to make our moo segment, but a Sky News reporter asked Rudiger if they let Ray Wilkins down because they didn't win the game, and it's like, how dare you even somehow relate that to that? Like,
absolute,
how is that
disgrace?
It's just, I don't get offended by a lot of things, and usually the more vulgar they are, the less offended I am. This was kind of just, you know, it really bothered me to the core. Like, how dare you even think to say these words?
Yeah.
It was, on a similar note, like, I think it was The Express or one of those clickbaity fucking newspapers, scum newspapers in England, had, like, a piece. It was, like, a headline, like, how Ray Wilkins died. You're like, seriously? Yeah.
Jesus. Just let it go.
Like, commitment to, like, slanderous algorithms and headlines.
Right.
Like, it's unbelievable.
All right, I think that's enough Premier League. There are obviously other games in the league, but we can't definitely talk about them all. So let's move on. What do you guys want to do? Moon of the Week? Or do you want to do a quiz?
You got a quiz?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Welcome to the Thomas Quizzlesburger.
Well done.
No problem.
Whatever, close enough. Okay, so let's remind people of your buzz in. Alex and Bernie.
That was easy.
Connor? Sorry, blank thunder. Thanks, Alex. Okay. here we go. I got three questions today. Question number one. Name three players who have had their shirts retired. Connor.
Paolo Maldini, Franco Baresi, Diego Maradona.
I don't have Maradona on my list. Oh, okay, Maradona, they tried and they failed because FIFA threw it back at their face.
Oh, yeah, sorry,
so Messi now has number 10. But that's two are correct. Baresi, Maldini. Alex.
A story.
That actually did happen.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
He wasn't anybody else?
Was he?
No, well, I mean, there's way too many people.
Okay.
But the known ones are
between
Larsson.
Us, we got three.
Yeah, Larsson, Tiote, Foe, Baresi, Moore, Zola.
What number was Larsson? Henrik Larsson?
Yeah, but for his Swedish team.
Oh, okay.
Zola, number 15. Mm-hmm. No one ever got it at Chelsea. Maldini has a little asterisk next to it because it's only retired...
His sons.
Yes,
yeah,
if his sons play for Milan, they get it.
Spoiler, they won't.
question number two. Rank these players in order from least EPL goals to the most. Okay? Danny Welbeck, Edin Dzeko, and John Carew. Connor.
I'll go Welbeck, Carew, Dzeko.
Wrong. Alex.
Welbeck, Dzeko, Carew.
Wrong. Bernie.
I don't know.
Take a guess.
Okay, it's Carew, Welbeck, Dzeko.
Correct. Carew with 38, Welbeck with 41, and Dzeko with exactly 50.
He did only play for... Carew only played for like two seasons, was it?
Yeah, legend.
See, I just remember him being pretty good and scoring.
Yeah.
It was close.
That young Bung the whole Carew front three.
Maybe it's just like recency bias and we had Welbeck on the discussion. And we slated him, so...
Yeah. Okay, this one is a
good question.
I've never done this format before, but it's a quick fire one, so you can just blurt it out as I say them. You don't need to click stuff.
Bernie's gonna love that.
Yeah, just try not to yell at people as loud as you can.
Okay, I cannot confirm.
It's an acronym quick fire. I've got four of them.
I'm terrible at this.
Ready? Here we go. VAR.
Video assistant referee.
HD.
Hey,
halftime.
HT.
Halftime.
Yeah, correct.
Oh, sorry.
OG.
Oh, no.
VC.
What?
This is the toughest one. VC.
Vice captain.
Nope. Close. Ooh. Not bad. It's a refereeing term.
Visual.
Nope.
VC.
Violent conduct.
Oh.
Huh.
Yeah. I like vice captain.
Okay. So, we're going to talk about the Champions League, which we never do because of this Monday podcast thing, which is a bit annoying, but we're in the kind of the latter stages which we have to talk about.
Yeah, UEFA called us and they were like, can you talk about the Champions League,
please? Yeah, they're like, the viewership is going down. Mm-hmm. We need you guys to pump it up a little bit. So, here we are. Liverpool, I mean, we mentioned this quite a bit during the Premier League segment, but Liverpool beat City 3-0. This was, again, we were talking about this before and we're thinking if anybody's going to beat City, it's going to be Liverpool. Mm-hmm. I kind of got on that bandwagon because it's logical, but I had doubts deep down that this would happen again. I thought Pep would learn from his mistake and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, 30 minutes in, Liverpool was 3-0 up.
Connor, did you remotely see that coming? Like, did you think that Liverpool could do it? Or?
I thought they could do it, obviously, but I didn't expect City to be beaten 3-0. I thought City would at least score an away goal. Like, to be fair, I thought City were awful. Like, that was as bad as I've seen them play all season.
Yeah.
They could barely... They didn't create a chance. They didn't, like, land the glove on Liverpool. It was pretty pitiful.
Pep also started the game quite, I think, defensively, if that makes sense. He played Laporte at left back instead of a more mobile player.
He took out a winger and played
Gundogan. So, he did kind of change things a bit. It gives you the sense that he is trying to kind of changed his approach against Liverpool because he learned from the past, but it didn't work.
Do you think he overthought it?
I think
Sterling needs to play with pace against pace. Just play him.
Because I felt like, you said, he was looking at what happened at Anfield in the Premier League and maybe thought, well, I don't want to get that flurry that we got last time, but you still scored 3 goals at Anfield and you took away a little bit of your potency up front, right? In the attack in order to defend.
He would have taken 4-3 at Anfield this game.
That's the thing.
That's a great result. Yeah. Away from home, 3 goals. You'll take it.
They were so overly reliant on Sané. Everything went down Sané's side. Sané had probably his worst game of the season.
But also Trent had a great game.
But it was just more like Sané's decision making on the day wasn't up to his usual standards. I think he waited a little bit too long to bring Sterling on. And it was just too predictable. Like, he knew what side they were attacking then every time.
On that note about Sané, I can't remember which pod I was listening to, but they were suggesting when Pep brought on Sterling, and yes, he brought him on too late, maybe the move would have been to actually switch their positions. Trent Alexander-Arnold something different to work with because he had Sané in his pocket.
To be fair, Robertson was having a phenomenal game too. Yeah. So yes. I think either way, Liverpool just decided to have a great performance on the perfect day. I mean, they had a midfield of like, what was it, Milner and
it was
Henderson.
All English. Milner, Henderson, Ox.
Yeah. So I mean, for that midfield to dominate a City team, that was bad. Also, Jesus had a horrendous game.
He
had like 3 touches all game or something. He was really bad. He was frustrated. He was going into tackles. Just you could see how frustrated he was. Aguero, I think, was injured.
He didn't travel.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, okay. That's right. He didn't travel.
Because this seemed to be a game that would have suited him more.
I think City just very. Laporte had an okay game, but most of the team just underperformed.
Yeah.
And then Liverpool, like the intensity they played at, like I'd be interested to see if they can match that this week because, like, they were played with like a manic intensity.
It will be interesting to see if they even try to match that or whether they just kind of
play.
They don't really ever sit back very much.
It really depends. I'm assuming Salah will be fit for the second match.
He's training.
If they sit back, they will lose the game. I don't know if they're going to lose the tie.
Who sits back?
Liverpool, but they will lose the game.
Okay.
They need to go out there, get their away goal. City need, what, 5?
It's over.
You literally go, your game plan is score a goal.
Yeah,
done.
Play the same.
Do not sit back and go 2-0 down and then you start to wobble.
Like, but given the results, the last 2 results of City, I'd expect City to win this game regardless. But just the fact that they don't have a away goal, their away goal would have been crucial. Like,
I feel like if I... Sorry, Ben.
No worries, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if I had to call it, I'd probably say like 2-1 City.
Right, yeah, I could... Like, I've talked myself into believing that they can do a PSG... Barcelona versus PSG style.
Remontanda.
But I could just see... I just see it being like 3-1, 2-1, 3-1. A valiant kind of defeat.
Yeah.
But, or a valiant victory on the night, but just...
Yeah. But Liverpool... I believe will score in this game. I don't see the intelligence in the City defense that can stop Salah. Salah's runs, for me, are the best in the league. The way he goes, is off the ball, he goes in and out, and he's watching the defender, he's picking them off. He's better than anyone in the league, and they don't have anyone that can stop that run. As Walker, definitely not.
Right, Theo, as almost.
But just for reference, like if you think back to when Bayern Munich, Pep's Bayern, played against Atletico in the semi-final in, what, 2016?
Yeah.
And they put in arguably one of the best displays under Pep Bayern that whole time at Bayern, and they still conceded with the one chance that Atletico had on the break.
Yeah.
So even you could see City going out and playing like the almost perfect game and still conceding with the one chance that Liverpool have.
Wait, it's Pep lost to Atletico, Real and Barca?
Yeah.
Like back-to-back Champions League?
Pep's Champions League record isn't the best. Like, I know he had the Barca time, but after that, his away record in Champions League is actually very average.
He's only won two away games.
Yeah. It's not very good. So, and yeah. Anyways, let's move on. Barcelona beat Roma 4-1. This was pretty standard, even though Barcelona weren't even that good and haven't been that good for a while. They aren't really that good of a team. They still rely on Messi, and it's insane that, you know, they're unbeaten in their league. And last week, me and you, Bernie, on the podcast, we still said that they're not playing well, and if at all. I mean, a lot of players aren't really carrying their weight in this team right now. Their defense is carrying them because Ter Stegen is probably having one of the best goalkeeping performances this season with probably De Gea. And then you have Pique, Umtiti, and Alba playing a very solid game.
You're forgetting a very important player for Barcelona.
The referee?
OG.
On goal, five goals.
I was going to say, like, if you just watched the highlights of the Barcelona Roma game, you'd be like, "Well, Roma were shit and Barcelona were quite good." But honestly, this could have been all sorts of results. Like, Roma shot themselves in the foot so much.
Standard Roma.
Yeah,
it's the eternal. It's the eternal problem for the team from the Eternal City.
Yes. Two own goals. I mean, the Manolas one was hilarious. Oh, just like bounced off him like two or three times.
Best own goals you've ever seen. Wasn't it De Rossi or was it Manolas?
Oh, the first one was De Rossi.
That one was beautiful.
That was good too.
Great finish.
But like up until that point, they'd actually been fine, and they also created a bunch of chances. Perotti missed a header from like 6 yards out or something. It was ridiculous, and like Roma deserved their goal, and they probably could have had two or three more, but they're done now.
Roma had a free kick edge of the box. I only bring that because Richey would have said, because literally it was on the line, literally on the line, and some people would have said maybe it's a penalty, and Richey, like our buddy who's not here, would have said, "It's so close, might as well just give it a penalty."
Yeah, that was a hilarious lie. He's like, "Look, it's so close anyway, just give it a penalty." But here's a quick question. I don't want to take too long on it, but De Rossi. I saw something online about how his reputation is much bigger than his ability.
Oh, yeah. I'd agree 100%.
Yeah, so I don't know. De Rossi's always been this like highest paid player in the league for a lot of years, etc., etc. You know, the second to top team in that team. Has he ever really done enough to deserve that kind of...
How old is he?
He's done.
Because the last time De Rossi was meaningful in any way was 2014. When did Moyes come? 2013, 2014?
Yeah, sure.
One of those things. And we could have bought him for 10 million. That was when I knew he was on his way down.
Bernie's life is in BM and AM. Before Moyes and after Moyes.
No, honestly, if he wasn't Roman...
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I was literally going to make that point.
Yeah.
What happened to Nainggolan? Is he injured or something?
He was injured for this game, which is a shame.
It's a big, makes a big difference. He is their best player. Sevilla took the lead against Bayern 1-0.
That was
and
fun.
We went, "Oh, you never know. Here you go." And then Bayern obviously
Please same
came
thing
back.
You were going to say is on Twitter.
About, yeah. And then obviously all the United fans deleted the drafts. Where they're going to say, "Look, Sevilla are a great team." And then Bayern came back and scored two goals.
Really, really liking the look of Bayern.
Yeah,
they've been on such a good. I know the barometer really isn't the Bundesliga anymore because they're so far ahead. But like
they're on such
a good run, and it's like it is similar to the last time under Hankes, where everything seems to be clicking into place just as the final part of the season's coming into view.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you two discussed last week how Hankes is kind of grossly underrated.
Yeah.
And, like, the job he's done has been
incredible. He's won the Champions League with two different teams. Like,
And he's gotten a double already.
And got
season.
Sacked after both of them.
Yeah. I mean, that one really was put them in such a hard position. He won a treble. Like, they had agreed Pep a few months ago. He won a treble and they all kind of went, "Well, sorry, but we kind of have to do this."
He should really go to Real Madrid or Chelsea. Like, those would be spiritual homes. Like, just do something, win something and get fired.
Yeah. I'm really liking the look of Bayern, and if I was maybe not Madrid, but the rest of the teams left in the tournament would not want to get Bayern.
No, definitely not.
Juventus, Real Madrid. This one obviously made headlines for all the right reasons. Ronaldo, I mean, he just keeps doing it. He keeps coming back into the spotlight. This is his thing. And to be fair, fully deserved at 32, 33, whatever, however old he is, to still have that ability, the physical ability. That footballing ability won't go away. But the physical ability, the professionalism to keep himself that fit.
What was that stat you had about his body fat?
Like 7%. No one has that. He has like all
he's
these...
He's not shy of showing you.
But yeah, he had... What a goal that was. I mean, oh, when you have Zidane kind of rubbing his head and Isco was like, what is going on?
I stood up and applauded. Like, I gave it a standing ovation. But to be fair, this game is sort of what has annoyed me about the Champions League for the last few years. In that, like, it's just Real Madrid, Bayern Munich and Barcelona are going to win for as long as those great players are around. Like, it's going to be one of those three teams.
Until they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, you might as well just shut up shop and not watch Champions League anymore.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen the Juve Netflix thing, but, like, that whole thing is about how they're gearing up for a revenge mission for the Champions League. And, like, they really believe they can do it. And then they get to, like, an actual round and get...
They played quite well, though. Like, I thought they played pretty well. They had enough chances to score a couple of goals. It's just that...
Dybala got a red card, too. He bottled it again.
But this is at this point in the Champions League, when you have to be clinical. And like Liverpool were clinical against City weren't clinical. City weren't clinical last year against Monaco. You've got to be clinical.
Yeah.
The Champions League, Juventus did it against Spurs.
Yeah.
Like they took two chances, scored two chances. It's the kind of level when you're at that level. And then when Juventus are playing Madrid, they're going up another level again from Spurs. So it's like you just have to be clinical.
There's only so much you can do because we saw in the final last season, right?
Yeah,
like Juventus and Real. Ronaldo came to the fore. The thing about this bicycle kick goal that at first I thought, bicycle, great, awesome goal, I'm a Ronaldo fan, awesome. But I thought, people have done this before.
Right.
Until I started reading the analysis of this goal, his foot was 2.4 meters up in the ground.
He had to go away from goal towards the ball.
His foot was at the crossbar.
Did you see Berzagli's reaction where he just went, well, like, what do you want?
And Buffon had made an amazing save in the build-up to it.
Yeah.
Well. That's the best part about it.
It was, and if you look at the way, the direction, it goes right in the corner, exactly where he wanted to put it. His, like you said, he's coming the other direction.
Yeah.
It's actually, first time I saw it, I thought, cool. But actually, I saw it again. I thought, that's actually one of the best goals I've ever seen.
Buffon has nightmares about Ronaldo. Like, he just destroys him. And the thing came out after that goal, showing Ronaldo do the exact same thing in practice the day before. Kind of, you know, try that again and kind of practice makes perfect, etc. But that is instinct. There is no amount of practice that gets you ready for that situation. You have to just have that instinct about him. And
the Juventus fans, it's very classic.
Yeah. Yes.
I enjoyed Wayne Rooney trying to suggest that his goal was better. Like
the shin.
I think that was very much tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I'd hope so. I'd hope so. But
what I loved most about that goal is that cross was to Vasquez.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Ronaldo had nothing to do with that. It's just like, oh, no, that's mine. Went back and got it. Like,
and that's what happens when, I think, was Benzema playing that game?
I really want to talk about Benzema in this game because the first goal Ronaldo scored was Benzema being the ultimate bodyguard of all time. he took Chiellini and he set a screen on Chiellini for Ronaldo to come around and score that goal.
But that finish wasn't easy either. You think whatever. But he like stabbed it as hard as he can into the top corner. This is Buffon we're talking about. Ronaldo's coming around the defender. He doesn't have a lot of time to put his body in the right shape. He is just... He's the best goal scorer today.
I think that regardless of what happens when Ronaldo retires, he should just hire Benzema as his personal bodyguard.
I agree.
He has to be in his life.
Yeah. Personal assistant, bodyguard, everything.
Or his doorman, something.
I like the idea that once Ozil left, Ronaldo just looked at the squad and went, yeah, Benzema, you're taking his spot.
I just need someone,
right? Alright, we should do Mumu. We've got a lot of fun Mumus. Is this the Mumu?
Yep.
I be Mumu. One thing we are no sha, Mumu not fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
First Mumu this week. So you know how like Fox Soccer bought the rights to the World Cup,
unfortunately,
hundreds of millions of dollars, and then the US didn't qualify.
Loved it.
Here's what they've decided to do to try and get people to watch it.
Can you feel it? You're connected to the World Cup. It's in your DNA. You may not speak the language or have visited the country. You may not know their heroes. But we're all connected to a World Cup nation through our DNA. So this summer, root for your roots. Watch the FIFA World Cup on Fox and let Fox broadcast sponsor 23andMe help you find your team.
Hashtag root for your roots.
Yeah, so none of you are really American.
Yeah.
Just kind of find your inner... Where's your background?
What I like about this is that, like, the political context for the immigration debate, they're just like, we're all immigrants.
Yeah.
Root for the team that you might...
I think what the Trump administration might do is just find out who's watching the World Cup and just go get them. You're probably not from here.
Yeah.
I'm confused because that wasn't a World Cup ad. That was a DNA
checking... It was an ancestry DNA.
That was actually unbelievable.
Yeah, they're literally saying, find the non-American part of you and follow that.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Oh, and apparently the Trump administration today came out and warned Americans about going to Russia for the World Cup.
Literally, the only thing missing from that ad is they should have just said, by the way, Mexico made it. Like, that's basically what they're trying to say.
The unfortunate thing is that both Italy and Ireland failed to qualify. So, but everybody else in America claims they're from either of those two countries.
By the way, Mexico qualified.
Yeah. So when there's a free kick against Mexico and they build a wall, Trump's going to be like, yep, they did it.
Bernie, what's yours?
All right, so I have one. It's either Accrington Stanley or the EFL, which is the English.
Doesn't matter.
I'm just going to read a line from this. Accrington Stanley owner Andy Holt will be allowed to keep buying his players McDonald's after matches. The English Football League have confirmed. The dispute arose when it was brought to the EFL's attention that Holt was giving his side £200 to spend at McDonald's after matches they won.
Presumably that's in total, not each.
I'm pretty sure it's in total, yes.
Okay. Here's my question. Give him £200, but why specify McDonald's?
Because that's clearly what they want.
Yeah, they watch them when they go into their local supermarket as well.
So the EFL were upset because it was not in their in the player's contract. So they're basically saying this incentive that's not recorded. But I have two problems with this. In the age of sports nutrition, McDonald's is really what you want to give your players. But then the EFL... Is it your problem?
Yeah, well, Ronaldo's at 7% fat. These players gain 7% fat after every win at this point.
Chelsea used to let Diego Costa have a beer after a game.
I wouldn't argue with him.
But yeah.
Is that why he fell out with Conte? Took it away?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I think there is a scientific sports nutrition reason that, like, one beer after a game is supposed to be quite decent for your recovery.
Right, and Costa found that link and sent it to Conte.
Yeah.
I remember this, like, 5 or 6 years ago, Robbie Savage was on 606, and he was going it is Moomoo of the Week.
Yeah.
And he was going on about how after games, whichever club he was playing for, I think it was Birmingham, they were allowed to have curries and pizzas. And people kept calling in being like, no, you're lying. You're lying, that's bollocks. But he was like, no, literally, we have to carb load after games, so they let us have
bread.
Do you remember Rio Ferdinand? Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah, Jaffa Cakes during the game.
One of Rio Ferdinand's biggest complaints about the David Moyes era was that, like, chips, like, fries were banned from the training complex.
What I love most about that is that Moyes comes in and is like, right, things have not been working around here. We need to
used to have Jaffa Cakes at halftime because he needed the sugar. Yeah. But the funniest one for me is Paolo Di Canio banning ketchup.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he came to Sunderland and literally banned
ketchup.
Because
he had a problem with it. Yeah.
Well, he's a fascist, so...
Yeah, true. But another tangent on, like, footballers' nutrition. I always remember Dennis Bergkamp... just basically recoiling in horror when he said that he was training, one of his first training sessions at Arsenal, he'd finished off, and he went out for a run. And in the process of this run, he runs by a local bar, and it's full of the Arsenal team. This is like the first day of pre-season.
The Arsenal back four used to be called the Tuesday Club. Because they just used to show up there and have a drink after every training session.
I think I remember reading that Bold went in and bought like 39 pints. Like, he just got them all up front, so they wouldn't have to keep going back.
That's for himself, and then he bought everyone else.
I just love the idea. I was just picturing the look of horror on Dennis Bergkamp's face. The look of disgust.
Yeah, he's like, I biked all the way here for this.
I once had KFC either before or after under the caution game, and I was ruined.
You almost died.
So I can't imagine McDonald's.
One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day Mumu go wake up.
Second leg of Toronto FC's CONCACAF Champions League semi-final tomorrow night.
Yeah, but what a first leg the first leg was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it was brilliant.
The weather wasn't brilliant.
No, the weather was horrible, which probably played into Toronto FC's hands. You know, those soft, wimpy Mexicans can't take it on a cold, rainy night in Toronto, as the saying goes. 3-1. And honestly, The Club America goal was a bit random and lucky. Anyway,
but good goal, though.
Oh, it was a good goal, but like he kind of...
Drew Moore just let him through for no reason. It was a bit odd. Let him,
But Toronto FC dominated the game. Scored three excellent goals. Penalty by Giovinco. The Altidore for two was a great finish.
Great play. Great pass to get him in. The swivel, the shot. Like, they were marauding. It was very impressive.
Again, it might be crazy to say, and you guys know that I'm not the biggest TFC fan by any stretch. Like,
except when you go to the stadium and your toes are freezing and you have no choice but to cheer because you're cold.
Exactly. Other than that, so when I say this, you know, I'm not just saying it because it's TFC, but I honestly believe they are one of the most fun teams to watch globally. Like, they are actually fun to watch. Like, I don't like MLS, and I didn't, and I'm starting to warm up to it. So, you know, I'm not saying this to try and garner any kind of attention to MLS, but I actually enjoy watching them a lot. They play good football. You can see the tactics in play. It's not just hoof and run. You can see the white players hugging the lines. You can see what Altidore and Giovinco, big man, small man, try to do. You can see kind of the midfield play and who's the box. They're actually, you know, enjoyable.
I think what adds to that is, Connor, when you go to a TFC game, you're going to see this. We went to see Man United, Arsenal, Roma, Bayern Munich, and Barcelona in Europe. And we still, to this day, say that the best atmosphere we experienced was Toronto FC versus Montreal. That is something that 10 years ago I could not even fathom. Mm. Then add the quality of play onto that. Like, it's a fantastic experience with Toronto FC.
No, for sure.
I know on the final third, like you didn't kind of shy away from talking about MLS at times, but have you seen much of Toronto FC before, or like?
But not really this season. Okay. Like I watched the game the other night, the Champions League game, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah. But that was probably because I was four beers deep and in a bar with two of my friends. That was all.
Yeah.
But no, they played some good stuff, and we were like, this is maybe just my ignorance to MLS in general. Like, I thought the pitch was abysmal.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, but to be able to play that level of football on that pitch is really impressive.
The third goal.
Yeah.
Was beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But like, we got to the point where myself and my two friends were like, why are they still passing it out the
ball? Yeah.
This is really risky.
And you've got the biggest guy in MLS standing
just
up there.
Just hit him. Yeah. Just hit the big man.
Yeah.
No, I think they play great stuff, and it will be... Yeah, like, we've kind of waited for a long time for MLS teams to make a real mark in the CONCACAF Champions League, so... It's great to see.
Yeah,
it's
happening this season. They've got, so the second leg's at the Azteca,
which is the best, arguably one of the top three or four stadiums.
Crazy.
Incredible stadium, and really good for the players to like experience that, regardless of the game, regardless of how it goes and the result. Like,
maybe it's a romantic thing, but just seeing like classic pictures of the Azteca in the '86 World Cup, and just having like a mystique around that stadium.
Mm. Yeah, no, for sure. And they've gone up a week early to try and get used to the altitude and stuff. Yeah. I mean, having someone called Altidore, will that help? Don't
know. You had to do it.
I had to do it. But so the interesting thing for me is that Bradley, Altidore, Giovinco, and Osorio are all on... They're all one yellow card away from suspension.
Doesn't matter.
The final is two legs.
Right.
But that's... If a couple doesn't of them...
It just carries over?
Yeah.
But most competitions get taken away
Hmm.
And one of the yellow cards was really stupid. I think it was Bradley.
Time for something to do with Roy Keane and you know, get the tragic yellow card that reels them out of the final. And
Giovinco's
100% getting a second yellow.
Well, Bradley always gets
100%.
They're all going to get a yellow. And then what? You're going to watch the first half of a CONCACAF final without like four of the top players in the competition? Like, that's just a stupid rule.
I agree. I personally think they should bring in an embargo just for Giovinco, just because he's so good that
TV ratings won't let him go down.
Like, come on. Yeah. We can make a special dispensation for this.
If we can't see him, then we can't book him.
In this game, halftime, there was another tussle in the tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe Altidore may have been involved again.
A policeman was involved, apparently, with one of the players from, like, assaulting a player from the team. Like, that TFC tunnel is just...
I love it.
Rowdy.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's just Altidore's experience of working under Pelo de Canio.
It's true.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I think the other semifinal is New York versus...
Oh, what's it called?
Guadalajara. Yeah, so...
What was the first leg of that?
1-0 Guadalajara.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope it stays that way. Because I don't know if it's TFC or Red Bulls.
No, what's the point?
Like, what's the point?
Mm.
I don't want to see a game in New York.
I'm kind of the opposite. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
I want the easiest route to TFC to becoming named the greatest MLS team of all time. And easiest route is New York Red Bulls.
Fact is, if they win this, we get to see them in the Club World Cup. And as ridiculous as that competition is, that would be really cool.
Well, yeah. Now it's cool. Yeah,
I wonder where it is, though, because then we might have to organize
it. Isn't it always in Japan?
Somehow it's always in Japan.
Or Abu Dhabi.
No, but it's always been in Japan recently.
Follow the money.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Well, we look forward to that tomorrow night.
And the small matter of the Champions League.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously.
There's also that. And then, obviously, Europa League on Thursday. Don't forget.
Three dead ties out of four in
the
Champions League.
Yeah.
But which is the fourth one?
To be fair, the four ties are pretty much done.
Yeah.
Unless City, I don't know, Liverpool have that in them. Yeah. They have that Arsenal DNA in them that they could mess this up.
Okay. I still believe there's a chance City could go through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But round table, what do we think?
Liverpool, Barca, Bayern, and Madrid. Sure. Yeah.
Liverpool. Anybody disagree
with that?
I could easily see City winning like 4-1, but going away. Yes. Going out after a tragic mistake from John Stones.
Everyone here thought PSG were going through against Barcelona last year.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying shit.
Especially the PSG players who released a video talking about themselves.
Well, thankfully from a Liverpool fans' perspective out there, they haven't released any similar video yet.
Thankfully.
Yeah. Definitely not a rap video either.
Yeah. Don't let Oxlade-Chamberlain near a camera for the next few days. Like, that's all they.
Well,
they
got. They've managed to shed themselves at Daniel Sturridge.
We didn't mention that goal, by the way. The Ox goal was a bullet. Oh, yeah. It was like one of the best strikes I've seen in a long time.
As soon as he hit it, it was gone.
It was past Ederson before he even thought about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how he hit it so pure.
Sorry, Connor just mentioned Daniel Sturridge, and I learned something the other day that blew my mind, which is that West Brom agreed to pay 100% of his 120 grand a week wages for this loan, in which he hasn't played any football.
Another similar stat is that Alan Pardew's players have crashed up more taxis than points, or than he's earned wins as West Brom manager. Which is just really, what were they thinking?
That is a perfect spot to leave it. Connor, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been fun.
Where can people find you on the internet?
One of my at Connor Pat Kelly on Twitter, I think. I can't even remember my Twitter handle. Final third is on hiatus at the moment, but we'll be back at some point.
That's all right.
We'll tag you in the description. You guys can find it, because I'm not sure how many people are going to get that right spelling the first time.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, look out for it. Mahanand, where can we find you?
Everywhere.
Okay. Right. Bernie?
Hmm?
He never asks us that question. Thank you.
BUJ21.
There you go.
What is mine? At
Arsenal_89 Mo? Or?
There's a Mo in there. Mo? _Arsenal89.
No, I don't think that's it.
This is really, none of us know.
No. It's amazing. Yeah. _Lacoste. That one we all know. All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for downloading the Koshcast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at _thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.